We hear about all of these over about Egypt. We hear about Iran and Ahmadinejad. He's going to wipe out Israel. If you know the Bible, he's not going to wipe out Israel at all. In fact, he just signed his death warrant. When it comes, Israel is God's chosen people. He selectively bred a race of people that would be known as Jews or Hebrews. And he wanted them to take the gospel to the world, and they flunked the course. So he came on the scene as he was promised, and that's where our whole time is dated from, is Jesus Christ. This is 2012, and that's AD. That's Latin for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So are your whole times dated from a man they crucified and the world didn't want anything to do with, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is the one, he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can believe in God, you can worship God and go right straight to hell. But you go to heaven by believing what God said. And God said, I love the world. I gave my only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, and whosoever believeth in him. And the reason you believe in him is because him is the one that went to the cross 2,000 years ago, and sin has to be paid for. Either you trust Christ and believe he paid for your sin, then you're passed from death unto life when it comes to that time to leave this world. Or you go to hell and pay for your own sin in the lake of fire. One of the two. It's that simple. So if you wonder about purgatory, purgatory doesn't exist in the Bible. It was the biggest farce ever devised by organized religion to rake off the money from you and put it into their coffers and make you believe that somebody got out of some place that never existed to begin in the first place. Boy, that's something, isn't it? I remember one time I got in the mail, All Souls Day. If you got more than one in purgatory, we'll give you a reduced rate. Where'd this come from? Well, it came from the Roman Catholic organization. They made it up. There is no purgatory. You're either going, and you're going to hear when you die, in Matthew chapter 25, you'll find out if you're lost. You'll hear the devastating words, depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Whom? The angels will throw you into the lake of fire and it's all over with. You will not go into extinction. You will suffer the flames of hell for all time and eternity. If you trust Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to church to trust Christ. You don't have to belong to a church to trust Christ. And you don't have to be baptized to have eternal life. The Lord wants you to because he doesn't want you to be ashamed. Like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So, if you trust Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, and I hope everybody here is, that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then when you leave this world, God sends the angels, takes you. You leave the body, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God because it is a sinful body. So there isn't anyone who takes this body into heaven because it's a sinful body. God's going to give you a brand new one. I tried to talk him into giving me mine ahead of time, you know, to get rid of the arthritis and get rid of a few other pains that you get as you get older. But he hasn't done that yet. I still got the soul body. I'm going to have it till it dies. And then when it dies, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. He'll send the angels just like he did down there to Lazarus. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is another terminology there for paradise. So, why send the angels? Well, I'm glad he does. I might get out to Pluto and make a wrong turn and never make it to heaven, you know. I may be out there in the universe somewhere. The angels will have you there in about 2 seconds, you know. So you don't have to worry about that. God's taking care of everything. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Satan has every device in the world to take you to hell. And for you to believe, cult, so forth, Jehovah's Witnesses, cult religion, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, they don't believe you go to heaven when you die, and they don't believe in hell. They just believe you go into extinction, and if you get sick and you go in and you need a blood transfusion, they absolutely refuse to have you. They'll let you die on the operating table. There's been many, many lawsuits over that. If some of you didn't know that, you need to know it. That's a cult religion, you see. Along with Mormonism and quite a few others. And if you don't have the book, you need to get the book. And it defines them with all of the proof in there and the devices that these people use to deceive you. It's called Kingdom of the Cults by Dr. Walter Martin. You want to get that book, and you will find out and get a college education in that one book. It'll let you know what you're dealing with. Now, we put this diagram up here, and the reason we've done that is we're going to talk about something that Bible teachers used to teach all of the time. In fact, a fellow I graduated with who has sort of turned away now, he's in more for the money than he is for other reasons, had a great big conference up in one of the big cities. A friend of mine went there, and I said, was there any preachers up there that preached on the rapture? What's the next event that's going to take place on this earth? That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. What do you mean? Are they laying in the grave? No, when they died, they were absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's talking about the body. It's going to have a resurrected, a brand new body, just like the body that the Lord Jesus Christ had, where there will never be sin, sorrow, or death again. In fact, we go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, and it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So the Lord's going to take care of that. He's going to give you a new body where you'll never see sickness, sorrow, or death again. They will rise first. They'll come back with the Lord, or already with the Lord. They'll come back, receive that resurrected body. And then us which are alive, we happen to be living in the only generation from 2,000 years that will see, and a good chance of seeing the Lord come back. It's called the rapture. It means just like that, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, every Christian will disappear from this earth. Every Christian. That's amazing. So if you have your Bibles, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians and let's go here to chapter 4. All right? Now, while you're looking over there or going over there, if you're married, let your husband do it so you can see what's going on. Okay? Here or that. Here's the diagram. We're in the church age here. It's been 2,000 years. What ends the church age is when Christ comes back. It's called the rapture. It's called the catching away. Christ comes. He does not come to the earth to set the kingdom up. There are some things that happen between there. But every Christian is going to disappear. If you're married to, we'll say you're married, husband and wife, and one of you is saved and the other's not, the one that's a Christian will be gone just in a second. Maybe she went shopping. Or maybe he went to work. He'll never come home because he went home to heaven in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. If she went shopping, she'll never come back from her shopping trip because she'll be taken to heaven. She'll go. Every Christian all over the world. That's called the rapture. That's called the body of Christ. Everyone who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. So here in 1 Thessalonians, notice in chapter 4. All right? We come here and find out here, when I'm in Timothy here, we're going to go over here to Thessalonians, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We find out that Paul had written 1 Thessalonians about 52 A.D. He had spent probably less than a month prior to that in Thessalonica, and he had told these Christians, he had led a lot of people to the Lord, he had told these Christians, he said, you know, the next event is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that. Then he wrote back to them and explained how this was going to take place in 1 Thessalonians. At the end of every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, you'll find he refers to the coming of Jesus Christ. And you can look that up when you get home if you'd like. Just look at the end of each chapter. Some are two or three verses up, but there. But at the end of each chapter, he refers to the coming of Christ. Then we come here to chapter 4, and you'll find out where he goes into detail about this. Now, I'd like for you to notice here, and we'll begin here, in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, and concerning them which are asleep. That's the body. That's not your, you're not, anybody you see in the grave out here, and you go to the funeral, the soul and spirit is not in that body. It left. And upon death, it either left and it went to Hades, a place of torment, just like the man that was lost in Luke chapter 16, and you can read that. He said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And he said, go get a drop of water and wet my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. Then he told Abraham, who was in paradise. There was a great gulf separating the two. He said, go back and tell my five brothers, at least they come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, no, if they don't believe the prophets and the Bible, they won't believe though one came back from the dead. They won't believe. So, with that in mind, those bodies are there. When the Lord comes back, that body will have a resurrected body, just like the Lord Jesus, where it will never see death, sorrow, pain again. There will be no more when you go to heaven. No more. Let's go on down. Paul writes back to him, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have already died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The others which have no hope are not Christians. They have no idea where they're going. You have atheists, you have agnostics, and like one told me one time, I thank God I'm an atheist. Well, that's great. You thank God you're an atheist. Now you don't believe in God, but you want to thank God that you are one, you know. How screwed up can your mind get, you know, on there. But these are those that have no hope. When we get called to preach, and over 40 years, I preached quite a few funerals of people who I know down in Ohio, the funeral home down there, would call me to preach a funeral if the people had a loved one that died and never went to church or anything else like that. And would you preach the funeral? Sure, I'd be glad to preach the funeral. You don't preach them into heaven. You always say, or at least I do, I never knew this individual. I have no idea. They may have trusted Christ as their Savior when they were just a young teenager, just a young person. Maybe they haven't lived the Christian life, but God never takes back his promise of eternal life. Now, you can trust Christ as your Savior and go on and live another way, which is not pleasing to the Lord, and you just canceled out all the blessings that God had for you. You just canceled them all out. And here, what you could have had, you would never have become. But when you put him first, he said, I delight in the prosperity of my saints. And you have the privilege to come boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in time of need. So God wants to help you have, and I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And God says, I'll tell you how to do it. If you'll just listen to me, if you're married, I want you to have a happy marriage. And if you put the Lord first, God will bless that. But if you want to go out and drink and get drunk and run with the boys and do all this kind of thing and so forth like that, or if you want to go with the women and, you know, well, we're going down here at lunchtime, you know, at work, would you like to go with us? You're a Christian and you know, we're going down to the bar down here. Well, if you want to run that kind of thing, you're not going to have a testimony. God is not going to bless you for that. He'll never take away your eternal life, but he's not going to bless you for it. And I tell you, this whole world we're living in today, as screwed up as it is, I'll tell you what, I want every blessing I can get. And sometimes the Lord gives me some I don't deserve, you know, but I want the blessings, because if you're married, you want to have a happy marriage. How many of you here are married? Am I married? Okay. How many think you're married? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But there's some that are going to be. And I know a couple of couples that are here, they're going to be married. You want to have life and have it abundantly. And there are things, if you do it the way of the Lord, first of all, you need to find a good Bible-teaching church. Because if you're in church, there's just something about it. Something in the message is going to apply to you. If he's a Bible-teaching pastor. Maybe the whole message isn't going to, but something's going to apply to you. The second thing is, you'll become who you're associated with. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? When I was a teenager, I got in some trouble. Multiplied many times. And it was always because I was with the wrong crowd. Now from their point of view, they got in trouble because they were with the wrong crowd, including me. So you don't got to blame it on somebody else. But you will become who you associate with. So, it came to a point, we were married, we had a happy marriage, the kids came along, we had three boys, and I was still drinking. Well, that was great with me. But my wife had different thoughts on that. Locked me out of the house, had to come in the coal bin. One time we used to eat with coal, you know, coal. You had coal bins, you know, that's back when a couple of years ago, a couple of hundred seemed like. So you come in the house and have to jump in the bathtub real fast and wash all the coal off of you, all the coal dust. And it didn't help our marriage any at all. Finally came to the conclusion, and I said, you know, I don't want my sons to have a drunken dad. And that did it. We used to have we'd call poker parties. And all of us guys from high school, we were all buddies and everything like that. So we'd go once every 3 weeks or a month, and we'd meet at different fellows' houses, and we'd play what was called penny ante. We'd play poker. Five card or seven card stud or stuff like that, you know, or one card draw or that, you know, and we'd have a great time. And what we did, we all got pretty well looped, you know. Now the wives went along and they would talk, you know, and have a good time, but they weren't happy with us being inebriated. So anyway, when I made that decision, it was my turn to have everybody down. So I thought, and my wife and I have talked, and the marriage was getting a little bit rocky. Now, if you've been married any length of time, I'm sure you've never had that. Well, I'm sure that you have. But it was getting a little bit rocky. And I said, you know, it looks like we're headed for a divorce. And I was right. Now, we never got a divorce. But I said, okay, I'll tell you what. She said, why don't you prove to me? I said, okay, I'll prove to you. They come tonight, and instead of having beer in there, I'm going to fill the refrigerator with Pepsi. And I did. Now, I want to tell you something. When they came in the house, where's the beer, Yelch? Where's the beer? I said, right out of the refrigerator. They went out there, and all it was Pepsi. Now, if you can imagine how seven or eight guys was expecting to have a drinking party like we had all previously, and all of a sudden, there's nothing out there but Pepsis. Well, one wasn't feeling good after about 20 minutes, and he had to leave, and another one wasn't feeling, and, you know, he really shouldn't have come tonight because he was having a problem at home or something. And in other words, we cut the meeting short, or they did. I don't know why, but they just cut it short, and they lasted about 35 minutes, and everything broke up, and that was the last time I was ever invited back again. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. That was the best thing that ever happened. You will become who you're associated with. Now, truthfully, a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them ended up in being divorced and remarried, and by the grace of God, we've been married 57 years. That's by the grace of God. But it's because we made decisions that we wanted to do something for the Lord. We got saved after that, and then wanted to do something for the Lord. And the Lord said, I've come, you might have life and have it abundantly. And I would have missed everything if I would have went the way that I went. And I'm sure glad I didn't. So, anyway, let's read on down. I'd not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, or you can put it in your Bible, that have died, that's the body, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's no hope to a lost person that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They just wonder, I wonder where I'm going to go. Did I do enough good works to go to heaven? You know, I've helped this person out here, I've loaned the money here, I've done everything I could, then you're not even a candidate for heaven. You're not even a candidate. Why is that? We don't have to look. I'll give you the verse. You can write it down and look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man would boast. I was, and I know I'm getting off here a little bit. Well, we got a little bit of time here. I was down a week ago down in Sioux Falls, and I was in a restaurant. And the fellow came over, and he said, I'm your waiter. My name is Andy. And what can I do for you? I said, well, bring me a big glass of water first. That's all I want. He brought the water back. I gave him my order and so forth. And I said, Andy, there's nobody in our section here. There was nobody, and he had that section. I said, Andy, let me ask you a question. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? You know what he did? He sat down right across from me. Now, he's the waiter. But there wasn't anybody else in this section. I said, I'm not condemning the business place, you know, but I hope nobody comes in this section, you know. The rest of the sections look pretty good to me, you know. So I sat down. He said, you know, this is strange. He said, I'm not a Christian, but my dad is. And he had been witnessing to me for a number of years now. And he said, you know, I just, for some reason or other, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ. I said, tell me, do you know for sure? He said, no, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I just want to tell you, this is odd. You come into this restaurant, you ask me if I'm going to heaven when I die, which nobody has ever done. And my dad has been witnessing to me for several years now to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So he sat down right there. We led him to the Lord. I said, do you celebrate Christmas? I said, yeah. I said, Jesus Christ loves you enough to leave heaven, come down here and take on a human body, knowing he's going to go to that hell of the cross. And I said, celebrate Easter? Oh, yeah. So we get him to recognize what Easter was, you know. Yes, yes, he said, I recognize Easter. Well, he went to the cross, to the hell of the cross, so that you wouldn't go to a literal hell down here, and he bought your price. He paid for your right to go to heaven, which is, in my Father's house are many mansions, one city up there, 1,500 miles square, called the Second Jerusalem. Every gate, 12 gates are of solid pearl. Streets are of gold. I mean, it's just something that you could never visualize. Probably from here, three-fourths of the way to Florida is one city. You know, the city of Babylon was pretty big. It was 20 miles square over there where the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are, which is one of the seventh wonders of the world. And Saddam Hussein had those rebuilt over there before we went in there and took him out and so forth. But anyway, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then he went back to get some other things, salad, stuff like that, and came back again. And I said, all right, Andy, I want to shoot you a question again. I said, if you were to die tonight, where are you going to go? He said, man, I'm going to heaven. He said, you know, I just never really had it explained like that. You know, it was either, you know, turn your life over to Jesus or one thing or another. You don't have to turn your life over to Jesus. You have to believe, first of all, before you build the house or build it for rewards, you got to have the foundation. And Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he went to the cross. He put it in the Bible so churches can't get it all screwed up with tradition. Preachers can't muddle it down some way because they don't want to hurt your feelings and that. And the truth is, he died on the cross, paid for your sins. If you believe it, you're going to heaven. If you'll trust it, believe, trust, have faith, all synonymous words. Yes, I know that Jesus Christ died for me, and I thank you, dear Lord, for paying for my sins, because I don't want to go to hell when I die. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus Christ. Amen. Or you can just turn your ear and run with your buddies or whoever you run with and listen to all this garbage on the street corner and everything else and go to hell when you die. No wonder God said only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. If there is a God, I'm glad I have the privilege to make my own decision instead of my buddies out here soaked out with drugs, alcohol, and everything else to ruin their lives and end up in divorces and everything else. I thank God that I can make my own choice and be my own person, and I don't have to be a follower, I can be a leader. And as long as you're a follower, you're not going to be a leader unless it's Jesus Christ you follow. And I didn't want a divorce. My folks were never divorced. I didn't want that, and so forth. And by the skin of our teeth, we saved it. By the skin of our teeth. Others maybe have gotten divorced before they were saved, and that's all taken care of when Christ died. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, so I have that. I have the righteousness of God that he gives me that I could never have myself. And knowing I'm going to heaven when I die. What a peace that is. There isn't anybody in the world can give you that kind of peace. There isn't any church can give you that peace unless the church gives you the Bible, and then Jesus Christ gives you that peace. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? No. Okay, we took a little trip around 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We're back to home plate now, so let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, here we go. Let's go down to the next verse, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died, I would put that, that's the body, not the soul and the spirit, in Jesus Christ, will God bring with him. They'll be raptured up. If you didn't know this, let me just tell you what you're made of, okay? If I could do this. I know you're made up of a body. You're made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The soul is a seed of your emotions and your appetites. The spirit is the seed of your intelligence, and they work together. That's the inner part of you. The heart, when it refers to the heart, is not the cardia as far as your pumping heart. It is the seat of your conscience. So, you have emotions with the soul. You have the spirit, which is your intelligence. That can increase with whoever put your trust in, whether it's the world or the Bible or that. And the heart is the seat of your conscience. Now, when you die, those all three go to be with the Lord, waiting your brand new body that you're going to have. Because when you go to heaven, there'll never be sin, sorrow, or death again. There'll never be any of that. None. So when you leave this earth, you've got something to look forward to, because Jesus Christ paid for your right to go to heaven by going to the cross, paying for your sins, so you don't have to go to hell and do it yourself. I don't know about you, that's pretty good news for me. You know, that's pretty good news, because I did some things I shouldn't have done. Put a couple of cats in a burlap sack, my buddy knocked on the back door, and he got the back door, and I turned the cats loose the front door. That was around Halloween time, you know. Now, I thought that was cute. I've since changed my mind. And I've since, thank God, I never got caught, you know, except losing my burlap sack, you know, because I let it go too. But anyway, let's go on down. Here we go. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not the preacher, not the pastor. He gets up there and, you know, he's holier than thou. And, good, sugar wouldn't melt in his mouth, you know. But we're telling you this, Paul said, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, boy, that's good news, alive. I'm alive, you're alive, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent. The word prevent is a mistranslation. It should be precede. The Greek word is precede. Them which are asleep or have died. So, we're not going to, when the Lord comes back in the clouds, he's not coming to the earth, he's coming there. Rapture takes place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just that fast. Then I'm going to be exchanged, but those with their bodies who have died are in the grave, their bodies, not their soul and their spirit, they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. They're coming back with the Lord. That body's going to be raised. They're going to have that new resurrected body right there. And us which alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's read on down. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them which are asleep or which have died. Those that have died will get the resurrected body first, and then just a second after that, I'm which alive will be changed, and the funeral homes are going to get the pickle put to them because there's not going to be a funeral. Great. How about you? I don't look forward to that, you know. I'm horrible looking when I'm alive, let alone put me in there and I'm dead. You know, I don't see anything wrong with the cremation. Maybe I'll be created. What makes a difference to me? I don't make a difference to me, one way or another. Okay, you're looking at me now, right? Get a good look, because you ain't going to see me when I'm dead. I'll tell you that right now. I look bad enough when I'm living. I wish I had a facelift, but I can't afford it. But let's go on down. In verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to go first. They're going to get that body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When a Christian dies, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, so-and-so had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, And the words that he would like for me to say at this funeral, if there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, now we're talking about being at a funeral, I'm going to tell you what he wants me to say. Preacher, whatever you do, tell them how to go to heaven when they die. Maybe they don't go to church, they don't care about church or anything else. Let my death be at least an opportunity to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've done while I was living. Please tell them how to go to heaven. That's why I want you to do my funeral, because I know that you will tell them. There'll be lost people there, I know. There'll be friends that I have that I witnessed to and never trusted. They've never trusted Christ, their Savior. But I can trust you to do that. So I would relate to them. This is what so-and-so wanted me to make sure that you know how to go to heaven when you die. So we would give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, at least they have heard, and many times there will be people who trust Christ as their Savior at a funeral. You know. So, then it says, we which alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I've got just about 4 minutes there, maybe five. Depends on how fast that clock goes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Speaks of the same event, all right? Now, if you've never heard of that, let me just tell you something. If you are a Catholic, or if you are a Lutheran, and you attend it, you're not going to hear these messages from the Bible, because Martin Luther never believed that. There were several books Martin Luther never believed in. He never believed in James, never believed in the book of Revelation, never believed in the rapture of the church. He never believed that at all. The Catholic Church knows nothing of the rapture. We won a lot of Catholics to the Lord, said, man, I've been a Catholic for years. Nobody ever told me about this. It's because they don't believe it. They don't believe it at all. They have all these traditions and so forth. But we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in fact, if you don't believe it, next time, go ask a Catholic. Did you ever hear of the rapture? Know what it is? When did your priest ever tell you about it? If you're a Lutheran, go to your Lutheran preacher. Say, what about the rapture? Go ask him about it, you know, and so forth. In fact, can I take a minute and just relate something to you? I was down in Pipestone. A lady wanted the book we had written on eschatology. And she has a beauty salon down in Pipestone. So I was on my way to Sioux Falls, so I stopped. And she was late coming back for dinner. So here's this lady standing there, elderly lady. And we got talking, and I said, boy, dude, you know, the world doesn't have any idea what's going to happen. All of a sudden, when the Lord comes back, every Christian in this world is going to disappear. Boom, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And we got talking, and she said, boy, she said, and how's, whatever. And I said, I didn't know she was a Lutheran. I had no idea whatsoever. And I said, brought it up, she'd mentioned something that I brought it up, and I said, well, Martin Luther never believed the second commandment, and he left it out of his catechism. She said, no, she said, I know the Ten Commandments, and boy, she named them off. 10 commandments like that. Just named them. I mean, she had it down. I said, you gave me Luther's Ten Commandments, you didn't give me the Bible's, and you left the second commandment out. No! And she did it again. Before I even had a chance to say anything, she did it again. She resumed the Ten Commandments, and she named them right down the line. I'd have to stop and think to get them all just exactly right, but she named them all down. I said, you did it again. No, she said, I gave you the Ten Commandments. I said, no, you didn't. Not in the Bible. I said, I want you to do something for me. And she was one of the most receptive I've ever seen. I said, you got a catechism at home? Small catechism? Oh, yes, yes. I said, well, you give me what Luther said. But Luther never believed the second commandment. He believed in making idols and so forth and images of that. He believed that just like Kathy Church did. I said, you go home, and what Luther did, and you get your catechism, and you turn to Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we have the Ten Commandments given in both places, and God gave them in order. Now, when Luther came to the second commandment, you know what he did? He left it out, and he took the third commandment and made it number 2. So he got down, he only had 9. You know what that codger did? He had to have 10, so he took number 9, and he made 2 out of number 9, which is only 1, but he divided it and made 2. So in his catechism, he has 10 commandments, But he left number two out because he never believed number two. She said, man alive, I don't know if you're right, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to find out. And if you're right, I'm going to approach my preacher and there, and I'm going to find out, why didn't you tell me this? Why'd you cover this up for? Why didn't you tell me? And I'm going to tell you why I didn't tell her, because he didn't know it. I've talked to I don't know how many Lutheran preachers and how many Lutherans, they don't teach him that in Lutheran colleges. That'd be interesting. How many do not have a large or a small catechism? How many do not? Okay. How many do? Okay, a lot of people do. That doesn't mean you're Lutheran if you got one. I mean, I've got several, so it doesn't make a difference. But if you haven't got one, ask a Lutheran if you could borrow the small catechism and you turn to Exodus chapter 20 in your Bible, the Bible now, and you look for the second commandment in Luther's catechism and you're not going to find it. Now, we should charge for that because you're getting a seminary course here. I'm just kidding you. I'm just joking with you. People don't know that. That's why Luther never believed the rapture, never believed it, and that's why Lutherans know nothing about it whatsoever. Or there. Are you saying they're condemning them? No, I'm saying they're condemning their lousy preachers because he should have told them. So you got deceived. And for heaven's sake, you had to come clear to Walnut Grove to find that out. Isn't that a shame? If you're clear to Walnut Grove to find that out, and you're absolutely in shock. What in the world? Never heard such a thing in my life. My goodness gracious. Well, I'm glad you're here. You probably won't come back again, but I'm glad you're here. At least you know something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look here, and then we're going to close, okay? Because this gives some additional information here concerning the rapture. When we say in the moment the twinkling of an eye, where's it at in the Bible? You want to read it right here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's what it says. And we come on down here, and we'll look here in verse 15. Or 49, we'll pick it up. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, that's our earthly bodies, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that's our heavenly bodies. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to stop just a second and throw this out to you so you can be aware of it and look at it. When you hear these things coming out to rip money out of you, oh, my son, he went to heaven. He had a death experience. He went to heaven. Really? No, he never went to heaven. He never went to heaven at all. If he did, he wouldn't have come back. He'd still be up there. You don't have reincarnation. That's a damnable doctrine by the Fillmores that brought that into our society years ago. No, that isn't so. Or you'll have someone, oh, I died, and I had a picture of hell, and I was there, and I seen it, and I talked to him. No, you'll sell the book. You'll sell the book and make a fortune, and then afterwards, as some of them have, oh, I'm sorry, we made a mistake, after they get your money. That's nice. That's good. Give me my money back, amen. Okay, let's look here. Let's go on down. Here we go. Now, this I say, brother, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do a corruption inherit incorruption, because these bodies are corrupt. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment and a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What's going to happen then? For this corruptible, that is the dead, must put on incorruption, that's bodies that will never decay. And this mortal, that's those that are alive, must put on immortality, bodies that will never taste death. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Not if you're a Christian, because it has no power over you. We may die, but we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a good thing to know. You know, that's a good thing to know. Dear Lord, if I'm a husband and my wife, and probably I'll go first, and we're there or that, it's just goodbye, sweetheart. It's just so long for a while. It's never an ending of goodbye. I'll see you in heaven. I'll wait for you. I'll be looking for you. You see, nobody but a Christian has that. Now, our time here, I got time to show you one thing, and then we're going to close with this here. We're going to be on next Sunday, and I'll tell you ahead of time, we're going to have a Lord's Supper, and we don't serve liquor. We serve grape juice. So if you're used to going to a church that gives you liquor, go ahead, but you won't find it in the Bible. No, we don't give kids liquor. We don't give them alcohol. We give them grape juice. The fruit of the vine in Matthew 26 is always grape juice. There. But let me illustrate this and then we'll close. Billfold sin. I'm the sinner. We're all sinners. We're all under the billfold, you know. All have sinned. We find out the wages of sin is death in Romans 3:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, being all of us, there is nobody, no human being on this earth who hasn't sinned except a baby who hasn't received accountability yet. So, we find out, if I'm a sinner, then the wages of sin is death, then I've got to pay for my sin in hell. But the Lord said, and even Peter said, I'm not willing, quoting the Lord, I'm not willing any should perish. God loved the world, that's every person in it. Doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are, you're going to hell unless you accept his payment for your sin. So, God said, Max Jones, please don't go to hell and pay for your sin because it's already paid for. Why would you go to hell and not believe what I'm telling you when everything I've said prior in Bible prophecy has come to pass? Why would you not believe what I'm telling you? I love the world. God loved the world. Gave his only begotten son. Here I am a sinner. I don't want to go to hell and pay for my sin at all. And the Lord said, you don't have to. I paid for it 2,000 years ago. Will you just believe me what I'm telling you? And if you will, I'll make you two promises. God loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, have faith in him, trust in him, all synonymous words, I'll make you two promises. You will never perish. Another word for eternal punishment or hell. But you have everlasting life. That means you'll live with Christ in heaven for all time and eternity. You see. He took my sin, marked it paid. And he said, I'll give you the righteousness because in heaven you must be perfect. That eliminates all humanity. So he said, I'll give you the righteousness. Put Jesus Christ to the name of Max Shouts. He's not Jesus Christ, but I'm giving him my righteousness because he accepted my payment for his sins. So I'll be passed from death unto life. Come and hear the kingdom, Max Jones, prepared for you from the beginning of the world. And I'll never hear, depart from me, Max Jones, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's your choice. You don't have to go to a church. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to do anything. In fact, there's nothing you can do. After you're saved, the Lord says, I'd like for you to get in a good Bible teaching church. I'd like for you because I want you to have life and have it abundantly. I want you to learn something from the Bible, you see. So, let's just bow in a word of prayer. And while we're bowed, if you've never, because I don't know, you know, each one of you, every one of you, I don't know if you've trusted Christ, but if you haven't, then you have a one-way ticket to hell. But you can change that in 1 second. Dear Lord, I believe you died for me. I am so thankful you died for me. And I take your promise. I believe that you never lied in the Bible. And I believe and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Just like the boy down to my waiter down there. Where are you going to go now when you die? He said, man, I'm going to heaven. I know I've never felt so good in my life. My dad was right. My father was right. And here you come in. He said, I can't believe this. I've never had anybody ask me that, you know. So let's just bow in a word of prayer. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, well then, do it. And we just have you bow your head for your own privacy, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. If anybody here has never trusted Christ as their Savior, well then, we just pray that they will, because the difference is heaven or hell. And of course, you died for everybody, and it would be our privilege just to know that someone, if not saved, have trusted Jesus Christ, you know, and to be their Savior, and know they have a home in heaven and have that peace of God that passes all understanding. Bless each one. Give us a good time of fellowship. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.